So here, you're never too old to do what God's called you to do. So we can't use that excuse. Lord, I'm too old. You know, how can you use me? Abram was 75 years old when he departed to go and become the nation that God called him to be. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions that they had acquired and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they left to go to the land of Canaan, and they entered the land of Canaan. Moses had to get up and go. Now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. So he took the flock to the farthest end of the wilderness, coming to the mountain of God, Horeb. Then the angel of Adonai appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. So he looked and he saw the bush burning with fire, yet it was not consumed. Moses thought, I will go now and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? When Adonai saw that he turned to look, he called him out of the midst of the bush, Moses, Moses. So he answered, Hanani. Then he said, come no closer, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then Adonai said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their slave masters, for I know their pains. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of B'nai Israel has come to me. Moreover, I have seen the oppression that the Egyptians have afflicted on them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, B'nai Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring B'nai Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will surely be with you, so that you will be the sign, so that will be a sign to you that it is I who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship and go on this mountain. But Moses said to God, suppose I go to B'nai Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? What should I say? God answered Moses, I am who I am, or Haya Asher, Haya. Then he said, you are to say, B'nai Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, you are to say to B'nai Israel, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and the name by which I should be remembered from generation to generation. Go now, gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have been paying close attention to you and have seen what is done to you in Egypt. So as we go back, we see the result of Abram, who became Abraham, the father of many nations. Because of his obedience, we have the nation of Israel being birthed, and we have Israel coming forth, and the deliverer raised up Moses to bring Israel out of bondage. But again, what did they had to do? They had to listen to God's instructions, and then they had to go and do it. Israel was supposed to get up and go, but only two, Joshua and Caleb, did 40 years later, along with the next generation. Numbers 13, 25 to 31. They returned from investigating the land after 40 days. They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of B'nai Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. They gave their account to him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey, and this is some of the fruit. Except the people living in the land are powerful, and cities are fortified and very large. We even saw sons of Anak there. Amalek is living in the lands of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites are living in the mountains, and the Canaanites are living near the sea and along the bank of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with them said, we cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we. Again, a picture. God has given us an assignment. He has already said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bring you victory. Trust in me. You need to go and into the land. You need to go. But instead of seeing what God said was going to happen, all they saw were the giants. Yeah, if we look at what the news is telling us all the time, if we look at all these pictures of what's going on and we believe that over the power of God, we are never going to do what God's called us to do. But the word says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If he gives us a vision, if he gives us an assignment, actually, basically, that's what a vision is. It's an assignment. God gives every person a personal vision, a personal assignment. God gives every congregation and ministry a personal assignment. It's up to us to obey and to go according to what God has told us to do. Numbers 13:32, they spread among B'nai Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, the land which we passed to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw there are men of great size. We also saw there the Nephilim, the sons of Anak from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own sight as well. You know, the enemy would make us think that we are powerless, that we can't do what God has called us to do. But yes, we can when we go in the power of the Spirit, when we go in faith and trust in him. Again, we see Joshua. God is raising up Joshua and Calebs in these latter days. God is raising up men and women of God who aren't afraid to go and who are not going to keep making excuses. You know, we can make excuses until we go to be with Yeshua and never accomplish a thing. You know, but wonder, you know, the enemy likes, well, what if you go and what if this happens and what if that happens? You know, that's a lie of the enemy to keep you from going. I know because we experience it. But when you know that God is with you, when you know that he has called you to do this, again, to reach the lost is at the heart of the Father, to make disciples for Messiah, train them in the Torah, train them in the teachings of Messiah, is at the heart of the Father. And he is going to be with us, and his angels are going to be with us. We see Joshua and Caleb are ready to get up and go. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. Again, tearing of clothes is out of great grief. They said to the whole assembly of B'nai Israel, the land through which we pass is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us in the land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Adonai and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. So again, Joshua and Caleb believed what God had said, and they saw that they can go in victoriously, and eventually they did, but they had to wait 40 years later. Then we see Joshua is the one that led them in. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear Adonai and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods that your fathers had worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and worship Adonai. Again, in this move of God, we see that God is having us get rid of, you know, the false teachings, the false, quote, holidays, the, you know, forms of pagan worship that were brought into the church, brought into, you know, the body of Messiah. Where, you know, again, he's telling us to get rid of that so you can walk, so you can go in and do what I've called you to do. So here Joshua is telling them, if it seems bad to you to worship Adonai, then choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers worshiped that were beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in those lands you were living. But as for me and my house, we will worship Adonai. So here, as a leader of the people, he is setting a precedence. He's saying, you know, you want to go back to the ways of Egypt? You want to go back to the world? Go ahead. But as for me and my house, we will worship Adonai. We will do what he has called us to do, and we will go forward in him. Judges 1:1-2. Now it came to pass after the death of Joshua, the B'nai Israel inquired of Adonai, saying, who will be the first to go up against the Canaanites to attack them? Then Adonai said, Judah will go up. Behold, I have given the land into their hand. Again, they had to go up into the land. They had to take that land piece by piece, one step at a time. But God was with them and already preparing the way for them to walk in victory. Deborah had to get up and go. Now, Deborah, a woman who was a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. So here we see a woman putting in a place of authority. To be a judge of Israel, you had to know the Torah because you judged Israel according to the Torah. She used to sit under the palm of tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and B'nai Israel came up to her for judgment. Now she sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, Hasn't Adonai, God of Israel, commanded, go, march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. Then at the Kishron Torrent, I will draw out to you Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will give him into your hand. But Barak said to her, if you are not going with me, then I will not go. So here, Deborah's already telling him, God's already prepared the way. You need to get up and go. God's already giving you the victory. So he's saying, but if you aren't going with me, I won't go. Deborah answering her, surely I will go with you, she said. However, no honor will be yours on the way that you are about to go. For Adonai will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. So Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Then Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali together in Kadesh, and 10,000 men marched up after him, and Deborah went up with him. So again, God gave a command to go, and they needed to go. Again, she was exhorting Barak, you know, God's already giving it to your hand. Why aren't you going? You know, but he wanted, again, he must have had great respect for this woman of God. Because she was, number one, she was a prophetess of Israel. She was a judge of Israel. And again, he didn't need her to go up with her. God was already going up, but she, you know, went with him anyway. And she says, okay, well, you're going to lose some of the honor for this because God is going to deliver Sisera into the hand of a woman. But again, the reason why I'm giving you these scriptures, faith without works is dead. God gives a command. God gives the instruction, but we need to get up and go. We need to do it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Esther had to get up and go. Esther 4, 12 to 16. So they conveyed Esther's words to Mordecai. Again, we know that Haman had a plot to have all the Jews wiped out. And Esther, again, God planted Esther in the court of the king. That was no coincidence that she was made the queen. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther with this answer, do not think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whether you have attained royal status for such a time as this? Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Shushan and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days and nights. My maids and I will fast in the same way. Afterwards, I will go to the king, even though it is not according to the law. So if I perish, I perish. So here Esther had to submit herself to God's will for her life because she knew it was amazing. You know, you just didn't enter into the court of the king. You just didn't waltz in there at any time. You had to be summoned, and it could be a death sentence if you went in and you weren't summoned. But we know the story. God gave her great favor, and the people of God were delivered. But again, Mordecai reminds her, well, you know, don't think that, you know, you're going to stay safe by being silent. Because you know what? You'll end up dying, but God will raise up somebody else to do what he is called to do in order to save his people. The Talmudim of Yeshua had to get up and go, and that includes us. Matthew 10, Yeshua sent out these 12 and ordered them, do not go to the Gentiles and do not enter into any Samaritan town, but go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, clean those with Zarat, drive out demons, freely you received, freely give. That is still Yahweh's command today. Again, this was the beginning, but it didn't stop then. Every generation has a call and an assignment in his Talmudim to go into the world and share the good news of Messiah. Do not get gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for the journey, or two shirts or sandals, or a walking stick, for the worker is entitled to his food. So in other words, if God calls us to do something, he's going to pre-provision for us to do it. Whatever town or village you shall enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you come into the house, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your shalom come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your shalom return. And whoever will not receive you or listen to your words as you leave that house or that town, shake the dust off your feet. Amen, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Again, we need to walk out in the love and power of Messiah, but we also need his wisdom. You know, if people reject what we have to say, you know what? That's their decision. They made their decision. You don't sit there and argue with them. You know, we just keep on going forward, and God will bring the people across your path that will listen. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings because of me as a witness to them and to the Gentiles. Again, speaking, referring to the Talmudim. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you should say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should say. We can receive that as well. God will give us wisdom. He will give the words to say to whoever God opens the doors for us to share his word with. For it is not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. We are called to endure to the end. Whenever they persecute in one city, flee to the next. Amen, I tell you, you will never finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple to become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So we need to, again, be willing to share the gospel. Again, people don't love the word. People are, there are people out there that will hate us. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We know the truth. And we are bringing forth the truth in the love of power of Messiah, whether it's on our jobs, in our schools, whether you're a teacher or a worker. God will open opportunities for you to share with people. Some people are going to reject it. But, I kind of fought it, several times until, but every time they were speaking the word to me, people came across my path, it was hitting my heart every time. Even though my flesh was fighting against it, I knew in my heart what they were saying was true. Why? Because they were giving me the word. Matthew 10:26, so do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear in your ear, proclaim from the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father's consent. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring shalom on the earth. I did not come to bring shalom, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be members of his household. I know many of us who, you know, have unsaved loved ones. I know when I, you know, was in the world and, you know, I mean, they had no problem with me drinking or doing drugs or hanging around with bikers or doing all the, you know, the goofy stuff I was doing, you know, but when I came to Messiah, it was like, whoa, you know, are you, you know, you need to go see a psychiatrist. And, you know, again, they were angry. They were mad. Why? Because they didn't understand what happened. But we continue to pray for them. Again, we just saw my sister-in-law come to faith in Messiah. We don't give up praying, you know, for our lost loved ones. Why? Because they don't understand. Yeshua said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But we pray that God will open the eyes of their heart, that they will bring them to understanding. You know, so again, it's not surprising when you come to faith that, you know, they aren't, you know, throwing a party for you because they don't understand it. But we still need, we need to remain faithful. It doesn't matter. You know, hey, I lost all my worldly friends. Big deal. You know, my family, again, not just my immediate family, but my extended family, they, you know, they called me all kinds of names behind my back. But, you know, who did they come to when they needed prayer? Will you pray for me? You know, and it's like, okay, well, you want me to pray for you, yet you want to, you're rejecting Messiah. But I would pray for them, and God's mercy, he would answer their prayers, the prayer, you know, and made, you know, and little by little, it made some of them more receptive, you know. But again, I know what it's like to be mocked and rejected. You know, it's like, I don't care, you know, because Yeshua changed my life 45 years ago, and my life totally became his. And my life came to be one to please him and please him only, because I know what he did to me. That's why testimonies are so powerful with the word, because you have that personal experience. You know what God did in your life. You know the answers to prayer. You know the miracles. You know, so nobody can convince me that God's not real, because I know him. I have a personal relationship with him. I know what the word says. I know what he's done for me. And I know the greater he who is in me than he that is in the world. We must shake off our apathy. One of the sins that so easily besets us is apathy, the attitude of, why should I care? Let someone else be concerned about it or do the work. Definition of apathy. Apathy is lack of feeling, emotion, interest, or concern. Apathy is a state of indifference or the suppression of emotions such as concern, excitement, motivation, and or passion. An apathetic individual has an absence of interest in or concern about emotional, social, spiritual, physiological, or physical life in the world. Philosophical, sorry. The apathetic may lack a sense of purpose, worth, or meaning in their life. Most people who are apathetic are only concerned about themselves and not others or the kingdom of God. Apathy should have no place in the life of the believer. You know, when we see these things, it should be stirring in our life. You know, a lot of times we see, well, you know, let somebody else do it. You know, I can't do it. But no, we need to shake that off. We need to come together, Father, and ask the Father, stir up, Father, if that fire within me has become dim, if that fire, that's that fire that I had when I first came to you, has been slowly going down, light that fire of the Ruach within me, stir my heart for the lost, give me the compassion for the lost, give me the compassion for souls to bring to you. Again, in Revelation, I'm ending here, Yeshua, again, he had a message to the seven synagogues regarding their works, and I believe he's doing the same thing with the churches today. The Ruach is waking us up, because, you know, a lot of these things are happening because we've compromised. We've not talking about us personally, but as a body of believers, we haven't done what God has called us to do. That first century believers walked in the Torah, walked in the power of the Spirit. They had, you know, horrible emperors over them. They face lions. They face bringing burden at the stake, but they turned their world upside down, and they weren't afraid to preach the news of Messiah. And God is waking us up in these end times. Revelation 2:2, I know about all your deeds and your toil and your patient endurance, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who call themselves emissaries and are not, and have found them to be liars. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have forsaken your first love. We need to restir up that first love that we had for Messiah in our hearts, if need be. Sometimes, you know, we can get just so busy, you know, with life that we forget to nurture that relationship with the Father, with Messiah, and lose their first love. And Yeshua is waking them up. He says, you've forsaken your first love. You need to stir up that love and return back to me. Revelation 2:14, but I have a few things against you. You have come, some of you hold to the teaching of Balaam, and who's teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before B'nai Israel, to eat food sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Again, we see in, you know, different churches or different, you know, amongst Christianity where, hey, it's okay to eat unclean meat, you know, or even to the extreme where it's okay to live together and, you know, it's okay to be gay. God loves gay people. You can still be saved and be gay. And, you know, it's okay for a minister to be, you know, homosexual or a lesbian. It's like, that's against the word of God, but we've seen compromise. And when we compromise, we destroy that anointing in our life. 2:20, but I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Yet she is teaching and deceiving my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Again, God, Yeshua warning them, turn away from these things that are against the Torah. Continuing, I'll give her time to repent. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of him, of her immorality. Revelation 3:1-2, to the angel of Messiah's community in Sardis write, thus says the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your needs. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains that was about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. You know, just because somebody has a mega congregation and 10,000 people in it does not mean that they are alive in God or that they are doing what God has called them to do. I remember, you know, when I was an early believer and I would walk, you know, I was looking for a church and I could walk into a church and I could sense, you know, when a church was dead. I mean, you could just feel the grieving of your spirit. So again, there's a lot of churches out there that appear to be alive, but they are dead. Revelation 3:15, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. Oh, that you would either be hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm out to spew you out of my mouth. Spew in the literal Greek means to vomit. I will vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have made myself wealthy and I need nothing. But you do not know that you are miserable and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. So again, this is, you know, an example of, you know, believers are proud of how successful they are. Oh, look at how I made myself successful. I don't need anything. Look at how rich I am. You know, he's talking as those are lukewarm. You know, they're neither cold nor hot. They're straddling the fence. They're not making any commitment to do what God's called them to do. Revelation 3:18-19, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may dress yourself, and so that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. An eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Again, I believe we're living in the days where God is first dealing with his body, dealing with his people, dealing with churches out there, that you need to repent and you need to come back to the truth. And because he loves us, he does rebuke us and discipline us. Why? To wake us up. so we can return to our first love, so we can become once again zealous, so we can once again receive that anointing and that power to go forth. To the faithful who tremble at God's word, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it. And on him I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's community. And just to end, Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion upon you. Again, that's God's promise for Israel, but as believers, we are grafted into Israel. We are a part of the commonwealth of Israel. And God, again, he has a call upon our life, and I know he has been, you know, again, stirring our hearts once again to go out there. You know, I believe it was Ezekiel, you know, when he stood before the glory of God and saw the glory of God, he cried out, Hineni, send me. You know, again, we see the early believers that were willing to lay down their life for the gospel. They were willing to do whatever needed to be done to bring people to Messiah. And God is, again, waking up a generation, waking up those of us who have been around for a while, who have the experience, have the knowledge of the word, to disciple people, to disciple especially the next generation, which could be, you know, anyone for, you know, under 40 years old and younger, you know, to be able to bring forth the word and to do what God has called us to do. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm stirred up. Not that I look to my own ability, because believe me, the flesh is like, you know, a pretty scary world out there. But you know what? No scarier than it was in the first century. No scarier than what they had to deal with. You know, we look at the giants and we see those giants as, you know, brought down under the feet of Messiah. And again, going forth in whatever he has called us to do, we're praying and believing God again for this, you know, this tent to be able to, and other people have confirmed this in the congregation that I've talked to, that, yeah, they believe that, you know, we need to go out there. We need to be praying for people. That's why these door hangers were designed to be able to let people know, hey, we're here to pray for you. We're here to let you know that God loves you and to share his love with you and minister to you. I know a lot of the doors they were saying they went on to said no soliciting. It says, well, we're not selling anything. We're just saying, hey, we're here, you know, you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. You know, we're here to help you know that God loves you. I know Letitia was saying they ran into a couple houses. It said no soliciting, but in addition, it said no religion. You know, so I said, you know what? So they didn't go. I said, it's fine. You know, they already told God what they wanted, you know, what their decision was. And, you know, I think part of it was because the Jehovah's Witnesses tend to go out there, you know, door to door. But here, if they're willing to do that and they're deceived with a lie, how much more should we be willing to do whatever we have to do to spread the truth of his word? You know, maybe not everybody's, you know, called to, you know, to go out there and, you know, to go door to door or whatever, but we're all called to share Messiah with those that he brings across our path. And if we pray, you know, daily, Father, bring somebody that I can share with today. He will. He'll open opportunities with you. You know, just if you get in a conversation with people, you know, it's like you'll know the doors that's open to get in there and share with them. It's, again, that's why I didn't want to really put this on Facebook, because this is really an exhortation to our congregation, the call that God has put upon us. Again, God doesn't give a vision for a congregation just for two people. It's for the whole congregation. You know, God has called us together, you know, to do a work while there's still light and the ability to do it. And I believe in my heart. Again, I've been, you know, around serving God 45 years. I've been in the world. I know what the world is like. I've been in the darkness and I'm in the light. And guess what? The light is so much better. The day when I was saved, I never had any desire to go back into the world at all. It was dead to me, but I did have a desire to share Messiah with those. I did have the zeal to share with Messiah those who came across my path. In my business, I had my own business, my own beauty shop years ago when I was in my 20s. And, you know, I had Bible studies there. I had tracts out. You know why? Because with my business, I could do what I want. And I, you know, I shared with Messiah. I had that boldness. But sometimes along the way, we lose that. You know, we get caught up in our own life and our own things, and we lose that zeal. And, you know, I've been praying, God, stir up that zeal within us again. Stir up that heart to go out there, because, you know, people aren't going to necessarily be knocking on the, coming, just walking through the doors of their church. We need to go out there and let them know, hey, we are here. This is a place where you can come, where you could be learned, where you can be discipled, where you could be prayed for, where you could have develop relationships with people who care for you. And again, the Father, as I was reading these scriptures and he was giving me these different scriptures, I was just weeping in my heart, just weeping for the lost. Again, when I shared those pictures of, you know, and those are only a few. I mean, there's a lot more of what's, you know, going on in the world. I mean, these are lost souls. I mean, totally lost. You know, this again, this is the next generation that needs to be, that have been totally deceived by the enemy, you know, bringing destruction. You know, one thing, peaceful demonstration is one thing, destruction is another. And again, it's a picture of spiritual warfare, what's going on in the spirit realm, which reminds me of another dream I had just recently. And I don't have the full interpretation of it, but what it was, and it kind of goes what's going on today. I was in a field and a storm was coming and it looked like a tornado, yet the tornado, it was fire. There was fire within the tornado. So, you know, my cat happened to be in the field there. I don't know why, but I picked him up because he was afraid and headed for a shelter. With the shelter I was heading for, the fire hit it just like this picture. That's exactly what it looked like. And the storm turned into a tornado of fire, and it was destroying everything. And the building I was headed for, the fire hit that building, and I was just, you know, standing again in the middle of the field again, just praying, you know, thank you, Father, for your protection in the midst of all of this. And again, I believe it's a picture of what's going on in the spirit, the riots and the attacks that are going on. And again, this picture too is this tornado, or this fire tornado had, you know, walls on either side of it too. So, you know, again, I'm not sure what the whole picture is, but I know that tornadoes are a sign of attack, spiritual warfare, spiritual turmoil, chaos. And so, again, we need to, that's why we're interceding and praying, because God has given us the power and authority in the name of Yeshua to stand in the gap on this earth so that his word can go forth. Elvino McCain, our Father, King Father, I thank you for this Shabbat. I thank you for a new boldness to come upon us, Father, a stronger anointing, Father, a stronger boldness. Your wisdom, Father, your direction, Father, to show us how to do this, where to go, when to go. In the name of Yeshua, Father, we receive all that you have for us, all the gifts that you have for us, so that we can go forth and touch lives. I thank you that we are free from fear in the name of Yeshua. We are free from fear, Father, because you said in your word in Psalm 91, Father, you have promised us your protection. You have promised your protection against violence, against viruses, against plagues. Father, you said it would not come near your people, those that are serving you, those that who are abiding in the shelter, those who are abiding in your presence. And Father, I thank you for every person in this congregation, Father. Everyone has a call. Everyone has an anointing. Father, I thank you that in the days to come, you're going to reveal to them, Father, what their particular vision is, what their particular assignment is. Father, I just thank you that as a community, Father, that we will bind together with the love of Messiah, bind together in ministry and in what you have called us to do, Father, because the only thing we can bring to the Father with us are those souls that we have led to a personal faith in Messiah Yeshua. Father, I just thank you that those of us that are older, that you renew our strength, Father, that those of us that are younger, Father, that you stir up that zeal within them, Father, make them strong in your power and your might, Father. Father, we just praise you and thank you for all that you are doing, Father, and we thank you. We say, Hineni, send us, Father. Send us to bring in the harvest. Let us have our part. No matter how little it seems in the whole scheme of things, we want to be able to have our part, Father, in this end time harvest, Father, and in discipling those who are need to be discipled so they can go forth as well in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Anybody has any comments? And I forgot to record the first half, so I just may redo this whole thing because I had to turn it off to bring up the notes, and I forgot to turn it back on, and then partway through I turned it back on, so that's okay. Hallelujah. If I have to redo it, I'll redo it. So, but I got most of it. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer of agreement for anything? Or a testimony or a praise report? To give glory to the Father for what he's doing.
Yes, I just like to, if you can join in prayer, Rabin, lead prayer for the safety and the health over the summertime for the congregation.
Amen. Well, you know what? I'll just pray Psalm 91. Let me just grab my Bible here. And open up to Psalm 91. I'm going to read the Tree of Life version. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, I thank you that we dwell in the shelter of Elyon, that we abide in the shadow of Shaddai. We will say of Adonai, he is our refuge and our fortress, our Elohim in whom we trust. For he will rescue us from the hunter's trap and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we will find refuge. His faithfulness is body armor and shield. We will not fear the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. We will only look out with our eyes and see the wicked paid back. For we have made Elyon our dwelling, even Adonai, who is our refuge. So no evil will befall us, nor any plague come near our tent. For he will give his angels charge over us to guard us in all our ways. Upon their hands they will lift us up, lest we strike our foot against a stone. We will tread upon the lion and cobra and trample the young lion and serpent. And in return, the Father speaks back to us, because you have devoted your love to me, I will deliver you. I will set you securely on high because you know my name. When you call on me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble and rescue you and honor you. And with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, Yeshua. Hallelujah. What a great promise that we have to stand on. Praise you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
Just wanted to ask my daughter, she's part of an organization, People Loving People. And every Sunday, what they're doing is they're going around Chicago praying for all the violence and everything that's going on. And I know next Sunday they're going to do their final walk. And I just wanted to lift up that. It's a small group of people, but they're out there faithfully. They've been out there faithfully for 7 weeks.
Amen. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
If you could pray, please.
Okay. What's the name of the group?
People Loving People, PLP.
Yeah, I've
heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Father, we just bring this group, People Loving People, Father. Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you for your protection as they go around the city, Father. We thank you that people that you are at work in this city, Father. We see this, you know, coming up, and I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you that people are willing to walk and pray and intercede, Father. Protect them. Let a mighty anointing be upon them and a boldness, Father. Let people's hearts be drawn to the love of God, because so many people are walking in fear, Father. Father, so many people are walking in confusion, and they don't know which way to go. Father, I thank you that you protect them, you anoint them.
Yes.
Father, and I thank you for fruit that's going to come forth from this in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And Father, I also lift up our outreach, our prayer outreach as well, Father, that these cards will touch people's lives as well. And that we thank you for fruit that's going to come forth, spiritual fruit, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Yes. Amen. Hi, Mom.
Say hi, Mom.
Hello there.
Hi. Shalom. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hey, I wanted to share something real quick.
I'm sorry, Josh?
Yeah, I wanted to share something real quick. So this is kind of interesting. You know how sometimes the Lord works in really mysterious ways and, like, protects you in ways you wouldn't necessarily think he'd protect you? So about a week and a half ago, Thursday, my car broke down. I basically lost control of my steering, driving on a, like, going like 35 miles an hour, you know, residential street. What I found out was this week that my subframe had completely rusted out, and basically my lower control arm had come loose from my subframe, meaning that I'm going 35 miles an hour and basically my car pulled really hard to the left, which wasn't that big a deal because I was able to fight it. If that would have been on the, you know, the Eisenhower going into work, coming home, going 70 and lost control, like, I would have been, you know, my car probably been totaled. I'd have been, could have easily been in a big, big accident as opposed to just having a little bit of car problems. So I just wanted to say that this was a blessing in disguise, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're dying near your footsteps of a good man or ordered by the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for protecting Joshua, Father. Thank you that your angels are with him and you knew exactly what was going to happen and you made sure that he was in a safe place, Father, where he could come out without any harm. Wow. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise you, Father. It just shows the goodness of our Father, you know, and I'm sure a lot of us have testimonies like that where, you know, God has supernaturally protected us. And praise God. Thank you for sharing that, Joshua.
Yes. Thank you.
Glad you're okay.
You know, see, that's why it's good for us to share with one another how God is working in our life and how he is protecting us and providing way. Because it encourages each other. It encourages us. We encourage one another that way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else? And I'm sure, Josh, too, somebody was, you know, praying for you at that minute. Some intercessor was put, that you may not even know, putting you upon their heart to pray and intercede. You know, again, God is so good. You know, he's, hallelujah.
I'm sure you were praying, too.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like when things like that happen, boy, you go into prayer mode right away.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Anybody else have anything they want to share? Or...
Well, Susan had something she was trying to say. But we
couldn't... did you have something you wanted to say? Or... Let's see here.